ahead and go to our next presenter. He's somebody that I've worked closely with more recently, grown fond of this gentleman, and privacy is critically important. In fact, this guy thinks without privacy, there's no freedom. But privacy and privacy technology can sometimes be pretty challenging. And I think the unique offering that our next presenter brings to the table is taking really complex topics and making it very, very simple. Kind of like old Jack Spirko, taking the complex stuff and rednecking it and making it really easy to understand. So our next presenter is going to share some of those tips and strategies on how you can become more free through greater privacy. Give it up for Glenn Meter of the Privacy Action Plan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. I am honored to be speaking here today in front of fellow freedom lovers on my favorite topic, two topics, freedom and privacy, and they are both absolutely linked together. And I really want to talk about, today I want to talk about the importance of privacy as it pertains to freedom. So, and the title is, Without Privacy, There Can Be No Freedom. And I want to I want you to think about this title. Without privacy, there can be no freedom. Privacy is at the core of freedom. It's at the core of freedom itself. And I don't know if you've realized this, but power seekers don't really care for freedom lovers, right? They people that think for themselves and people who question authority, question the narrative. We get canceled, censored, condemned. But I want you to think about this. What would have happened to America's founding fathers if England had the level of surveillance that the U.S. government has now at its fingertips? What if they were able to look over their look over the founding fathers' shoulders and see what they write before even it is published? Or if they look at all the personal correspondence between them, who it's from and who it's to and what they're saying? And if they could listen in on the private conversations in people's homes. And if they could see where every person was every second of the day, who they met with, who they had lunch with. And they could see every dollar that they owned, where it was, what they spent it on, what would have happened? You know what would have happened, right? They would have been shot. They would have been hunted down. They would have been imprisoned at the very least. We think now of Benedict Arnold as a traitor, right? But he was a hero to England. So Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, they would have been known as the traitors. America would not have been born. The freedom experiment would not have been, would have died before it even got started. And yeah, I already said that. Now, what about the Nazis? What if the Nazis had this level of surveillance that our government has now? It would have been more devastating than it, even more devastating than it was. So they would have known who the true believers were. They would have known who is hiding the Jews, who is helping the Jews out of the country, who are the resistors. They would have shot them and put them into concentration camps. Now we're dealing with something new, and that is China's new social credit system. And this is real. Some people in the freedom movement that are really high up in the freedom movement don't even think this exists. They will argue to the death that it doesn't exist. It does exist. I don't understand how they can say it doesn't exist. It exists now. It is real. It is technological slavery. It's coming to the U.S., or this is what they want to have happen. And it is powered by surveillance and artificial intelligence. Now, I just want to say a quick word about artificial intelligence. This is not Commander Data. They're not trying to find, they're not trying to create a live computer. What they're trying to do is they're collecting so much data on us that they can't process all this data. And so they're trying to figure out how can they turn all of this data into even more control mechanisms that they can control us with. So the Chinese social credit system is a reward and punishment system. And it's like our credit system. And so everyone gets a score. And if your score goes up, you get benefits. If it goes down, you get penalties. So they're very specific and they're very upfront with their goals. So they will isolate people with, if you have a low score, they're going to isolate you. They're going to isolate you geographically, financially, and socially. So geographic isolation. If you have a low score in China, you're not able to buy a plane ticket. If your score goes lower, you're not able to buy a train ticket. If it goes lower, you're not able to buy a bus ticket. Your license may be taken away. You won't be able to rent a hotel room. You might not be able to get a good apartment. And their stated goal on this is if you have a good score, you'll be free as a bird. And if you have a low score, you can't move an inch. That's what they say. Financial isolation. Can't get a loan. You get fired from your job. Can't get a good job. Can't get a good job with the government. The best jobs over there are with the government. Social isolation. So if your score goes down low enough, you're going to get posters made, and they're going to put posters up that shame you, right? Your kids can't get into good schools. And so that pits husbands against wives, right? Can't get on good dating sites. And there's another one here of phone calls. So if I'm calling Paul and Paul is blacklisted, I'm going to get a message on the phone before it connects. It says, this person has been blacklisted. If you continue this call, you're going to have points removed from your score. Do you want to continue this call? Who's going to take that call? Who's going to continue with that call, right? The final nail in the coffin that they want to put in place is the digital yuan, which is, you know, everyone says, okay, digital currency, what's the difference? We have Visa, we have MasterCard, right? But that's not what this is. This is programmable currency so that it will be tied into the punishment and reward system, and they will be able to give instantaneous punishments, instantaneous rewards. Somebody jaywalks across the street and a camera spots them and flags it, they're going to get $50 taken out of their funds immediately. So it's not get a ticket and it gets mailed to you and do they see you or whatever. It's instantaneous. And they're going to control people in this way. It's going to be instantaneous positives and negatives for people. And it will be total control is what they want to do. And my point is, this is a system of slavery. So it's automated. They don't have to monitor every person. I mean, people don't have to keep watching other people. It's the system and the artificial intelligence that watches everybody. So it's automated. And so it's very low energy to maintain this across the whole spectrum of the population. And all they need to do to get the results they want is just, okay, here's the criteria, here's the reward, here's the penalty. And so they can program that in. So never before in history have the elites had the ability to control the populace like they do now. Now, it is coming to the U.S., like I said. There's a difference, though. And the difference is China is very transparent about what their goals are. They're saying, this is what we're doing. And we're doing this to make you better citizens to do what we want you to do. The West, you know, people wouldn't do that. We wouldn't stand for the government training us to be good citizens, right? So they're doing it in a deceptive way. Everything now is going to be about the greater good. The greater good. Everything will be about the greater good. So, for example, take the jab. Why take the jab? For the greater good. It's not for you, it's for everybody else that you're taking this for. And if you don't take it, you're totally selfish, and it doesn't matter what happens to you. It's for the greater good. That's why we can't talk about what happens to all the people that have taken it and it hasn't turned out well. So the greater good is going to become the mantra that they're singing. So and by the way, I don't want to say, I'm not saying anything about the jab. If you have the jab, I don't care. You know, this is freedom. We don't judge. We don't care what you do individually, right? But this has been pushed globally. And there has been a coordination behind it. And it's almost like this coordination is too, there's something happening here, but we can't put all the pieces together. So what's really happening here? But what we have seen is we've seen geographic isolation, right? So Australia, New Zealand, China have all locked everyone down. And in Canada, you couldn't even a couple months ago, unvaccinated people couldn't move around the country. Even in the U.S. right now, we have unvaccinated people that are not citizens can't come into the country. Even now, as we speak, it's terrible, right? Financial isolation. Has there been financial isolation? Millions of people. How many people lost their jobs because of this, right? Or they were pressured, and there was so much pressure to do this, or you're going to lose your job. There were places that penalized people. I mean, just outright penalties if you don't have the jab. There were rewards given for people that did get the jab. I don't know if you saw one place gave everyone Big Macs and stuff like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. Social isolation. The media and social media has totally come down on everyone slammed everyone that didn't get the jab, right? But it's also couldn't go to concerts, couldn't get Ticketmaster, couldn't go to bars. Don't go see your family at Christmas and Thanksgiving, right? So it's social isolation too. So there's a plan behind what they're doing. And we're going to see this expand. We're going to see get the jab. There's going to be multiple get the jabs. This jab or another jab. Diversity, which is not real diversity, right? It's men are women and women are men. Environment. It's obvious to me that they do not care about any of these issues. They really don't care about your health. They don't care about your child. They don't care about the society. They don't care about the planet. This is only about control. So another example, electric cars. They're not pushing electric cars because it's better for the environment. They're pushing the electric cars because they're surveillance machines and they can be controlled remotely. And they can be tied into your carbon credit score. So if you exceed your carbon allotment for the month, maybe you're not going to be able to charge your car fully. Or maybe it's going to be slower to charge your car. Maybe your car is not going to let you into certain areas. Or maybe it's not going to let you drive beyond a certain distance. This is their plan. This is why they want to do this. So, like I said, never before in history have the elites had so much power to control us as they do now. And it is clear they want to enslave us. They're putting the pieces in place to enslave us. They're creating the infrastructure. So the question is, are they going to be able to do this? And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be successful. I don't think they are. I really don't think they are. But we don't know. But let me ask you this. Is our government, this is going to sound like sacrilege to some people, I think. Is our government any more noble today than the England of 250 years ago? Or China? Or even the Nazis? And that might take some people might question that one. But to answer this question, I'm going to ask you another question, and I really want you to answer this. What is the source of our freedom? Where do we get our freedom from? Just yell it out. Yeah, it's God, and it's within us. And I've heard a bunch of different answers. But yeah, it's our source of freedom is God. So most Americans, if I ask this question to most Americans, and I knew I'd get a good answer from everyone here, but most Americans will say it's because we live in a democracy. But that's not true, because that is basically our government giving us our freedom. But that's wrong. Our government does not make us free. We are free despite our government. We are free. Our freedoms come from God. And that's not a religious statement. If if you're not Christian or if you're whatever you are, it doesn't matter. What I'm talking about is the origin, the starting point, and who has the authority to take those rights away. If they come from God, the government doesn't have the authority to take those rights away, right? And our Constitution protects these God-given rights. And it is a very wonderful document. Every government is run by power seekers, and they will take as much power as they are allowed to take. And they do not care. I literally say they do not care. In any population, you have 3% of the people are sociopaths and 1% are actual psychopaths. So what this means is they have no empathy for the feelings or needs or rights of others. They have no remorse even when their actions harm others. The U.S. has 256 million adults. That means we have 7.68 million sociopaths and 2.56 million psychopaths here. It's kind of scary, right? Some of them are in, a lot of them are in prison and they've gotten in trouble and they're on the outskirts, but some are very good at hiding in daily life. I think the best way to see them and to find them is to look at the positions that attract them, because they're attracted to power like moths to flame. And I believe that a very high percentage of leaders, political leaders, and some big tech company leaders are psychopaths, literally psychopaths. But I do want to say I am optimistic. I am very optimistic about our future. I want to tell you about Pastor Art. Pastor Art Pawlowski. He is a Canadian freedom fighter. And yeah, so a lot of people know him. So he's the guy that Canada has tried to shut down his church services every Sunday throughout the whole COVID thing. And he shouts them down, shouts them out. And you've seen the videos on YouTube probably. I was talking to him. I interviewed him and I said, you know, it's kind of depressing, all of this global tyranny that's going on, because it seems like they have so much power and everything. He had a perspective that it was pretty refreshing. So he said, all of this stuff has always been there, except now God is shining a light on that. And so we're able to see this. And he had another thing that he said too, where he said God is shaking the fence. So you can't be a fence shaker anymore or fence sitter anymore. You've got to take a stand either on the side of tyranny or freedom. And so he sees everything that's happening as good. And that has really shaped my view of what's going on here. 4% versus 20 or more than 20%. So while 4% are psychopaths and sociopaths, 20% plus are lions, right? We are all lions here. We believe in freedom. We believe in justice, peace, prosperity, all of this stuff, right? And this is, we are the ones that make this world go around. All of the freedom, this is a really important point. All of the freedom, all of the happiness, all of the good things about our society, we created. That was us. All of the prosperity, that was us. We did it in spite of them, in spite of these blood-sucking parasites. They had nothing to do with it. The Federal Reserve had nothing to do with the prosperity that we have, right? Okay, so I want to go through I want to go through 7 points. So their mantra is, their roadmap for the future is the greater good. Everything going forward is going to be the greater good. The jab, the environment, everything. There is the greatest good is freedom, right? Individual freedom. And we have to always come back to that. That should be our roadmap. And so freedom has always been, has always resulted in the best results for everybody, right? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of being able to defend ourselves, freedom to raise our children as we see fit, free markets. All of that stuff is for everyone's benefit. The next The next point here is that our rights come from God. And I believe that if you look over the world right now, and you look at some of the countries, there are countries that have fallen to this tyranny, right? New Zealand, Australia, China, many parts of Europe have fallen to this tyranny, as have many of the blue states, right? So the red states really have been the holdout. Why? I believe it's because we believe that our rights come from God and that the government doesn't have the authority to take those rights away. So I was interviewing Brian Peckford. Brian Peckford is in Canada. He is, so in the U.S., we have the Bill of Rights, right? And we've had those since the 1700s. So they're in our DNA. In Canada, they have the Canadian Charter, which wasn't created until 1982. And that is the equivalent of our Bill of Rights. Brian Peckford helped write those Bill of Rights, and he's the last living signer of those Bill of Rights. And so I was talking to him. He's a wonderful guy. And this is the conclusion we came to. I asked him about all of these different countries and why is it that Canada has fallen to this tyranny and Australia and New Zealand. And he said, this is the conclusion we came up with. Canadians don't believe that the rights come from God. New Zealanders don't believe that the rights come from God. So that means, where do they come from? They believe they come from the government. And that means the government has the authority to take them away. I think it's important that we cherish and defend our Constitution. It is a wonderful roadmap for us. And all the problems that we have is because those are places that we've let slip. And just so the Constitution is the law of the land. Any law that contradicts the Constitution is an illegal law. And just because past generations have let the federal government get way too much power, primarily under the New Deal is when a lot of that happened, that doesn't mean that the law changed. We can take that back, and DeSantis shows us how to do that with the states, but we can go much further than that, and we need to get our states. I think the federal government, quite honestly, is a kind of a write-off. The states is where we have the power. The legal power resides in the states. Point four, their control system is completely based on surveillance and artificial intelligence. It's not completely. I mean, they've got propaganda and all of that stuff, the media. But what they're trying to do, what they're trying to put in place now, is based on surveillance. And it is our job. We have to stop just talking about freedom. I think we have to talk about freedom and privacy. So if you fight for freedom, you have to fight for privacy. If you stand up for freedom, you have to stand up for privacy. We have to each talk about privacy. We have to learn about privacy. We have to take the steps needed to get private. And there are some very simple things that you can do to get private, and I encourage you to do that. That's why I do the Privacy Action Plan, because I believe that without privacy, we don't have any freedom. This is my driving force there. I think it's very important that we do not trust big tech. And every product that they create is a Trojan horse. They're very good at creating these shiny objects that we want to have, but it's all a Trojan horse. It is all specifically designed to get our data. And so we have to take the steps to get away from that. And I see it as, you know, we've got on one hand we've got privacy, on the other hand we've got convenience. And there's a sliding bar there. And we've got to figure out, where do we reside on that sliding bar? And that's a decision that we all have to decide. But I think we do need to make some sacrifices there on the convenience side. You know, the above phone is a great phone. Is it? I use the above phone. Is it going to ever be an iPhone? No, but it's pretty darn close. But is it ever going to be equivalent to what the largest, wealthiest company company in the world is going to be able to create? No, it's not. There's some sacrifices that we need to make there. But it is important to take those steps. And the Above phone is, and other phones like it are really a good step to getting private and secure. And there's a lot of other steps that we can do to get private and secure. Definitely Alexa, Roomba, all those things. I think we can do without those. I hope you agree with that. Okay, the final, or actually I've got two more points here. I do recommend, and this is not financial advice, this is just life advice, I guess, is get some money outside of the financial system. They're locking the financial system down, and they will have control over you because of that. And so get some of your assets outside of that system, gold, silver, crypto. I prefer Monero and Pirate Chain above anything else. I think we will see those things. I don't get into them because of any speculation about growth or anything like that, but I think they will become more popular as people see they eventually open their eyes to what's happening here. And the last point here is teach your children about privacy, and especially that privacy and freedom are interconnected, and that we have the right, the God-given right to be private and free. And we can't let Google or the CEO of Google or a politician convince us that we don't have the right or that they don't have the right to be private, right? And we can't let them buy into this thing of we have to sacrifice our privacy for the greater good either. So in summary, we live in a crazy world. I think we'd all agree. Our lives are online. That makes us vulnerable to all sorts of things that we've never been vulnerable to before. We have no way of knowing how we are vulnerable to that. They know a lot more than we do about this stuff. So they are better at targeting us than we are at defending ourselves. But there are some things that you can learn to do that. We have to realize that privacy is essential for freedom itself, and we have to take both back. They're not going to give us our freedom back. They're not going to give us our privacy back. We have to take those back. And the good news is that the market is responding. There are a lot of privacy-oriented products and services out there now, and that's freedom, right? And that's what Mark Moss was talking about yesterday. I encourage you to get into the market too, come up with freedom and privacy products, and just help the movement. So that's it. Thank you. Actually, I do have one more thing. We do have a special offer, a special thing for the show. PrivacyActionPlan.com. If you use the coupon code GreaterReset, you get 40% off lifetime membership. So thank you.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with The Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a 5-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating 5 focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.